got to hear a lot of their story last night. They've been married for quite a number of years, but they were young and ready to go into the Army and jumped out at young age. A Canadian goes over to England and meets, to Scotland, was it? Or to England and meet each other, come on back, and he came over with his guitar and a suitcase and popped the question. And then next thing you know, they're not just in YWAM, they end up becoming leaders of YWAM and eventually over Europe, and 25 years of serving in Scotland, I think it was, and doing amazing stuff. And so in the same way, you know, I barely know you, but I've gotten to know one of your children, Johanna, and she's an amazing young woman. And so the fruit of years and years is not just what we say we got done, it's who we are. And, you know, we talked about this last night. You can teach what you know, but you always impart who you are. And so we just want to honor you for who you are. Ready to receive? Yes. Let's give them a Calgary welcome. So.
Thank you for that lovely, warm welcome. Isn't it amazing that it doesn't matter where we live or what nation or language or culture we come from, that we're when we are with God's people, you just feel right at home. You know what? You just take your shoes off here. I just sense everything that's happened this morning has been for me. I'm sure you've also felt the same. It's for you. God has been highlighting things. And it's just so nice to just feel comfortable. I don't always feel that. I travel quite a bit too, and some of you may know Spain isn't exactly the most vibrant place spiritually, but it's just, it's like a breath of fresh air coming in here. So thank you so much for those leading us in worship. When you hear what we're doing this morning, you could have been reading Steve's notes. It was just the songs, the words, as a matter of fact, many repeated. And it was just a real encouragement to us, just a lift. Often we're the ones who are leading. So nice to be able to sit and receive. So I just wanted to say, I feel very full this morning. We could just go home now, really. I feel good. So I don't know why we don't just close in prayer now. And I think I'm supposed to give the introduction. So let me introduce who we are. We already heard we met in YWAM, Youth of the Mission. It is quite a few years ago, 1977. How many here were not born yet in 1977? Yes, way too many. Oh, sorry. I was celebrating my 60th this year, so I'm kind of a little sensitive about ages and dates. But at the same time, I thank God for health and strength, and we keep going. We're very privileged to have had wonderful, wonderful kids, and that's why we're here, of course, for this month to celebrate a new little baby, Elliot. And that's obviously, you can see our lovely gang. We also have another beautiful baby, Noah. I don't know what happens to third culture kids, but somehow they feel they have a license to sort of live wherever they want. I don't know who put that in their hearts. I don't know where that came from, because, you know, us, we've sort of lived in dozens of different homes and places. And it's just one of those things. They can adapt in a variety of different cultures. I know that can be a blessing, a great blessing, but not for grandparents. Not pleased about that. So that's our lovely family, Johanna and Evandro, you'll see there, and our oldest son and his wife, they're the ones with the lovely baby. They're in Melbourne, and our youngest son and his lovely wife. Isn't it amazing that when you have family, it just increases? And I just feel like we're so privileged. We have the most wonderful, wonderful spouses for our children that we feel we can all be together, and we're still all family. Even though we come from very different backgrounds, and everyone carries often a different passport, or at least two. And it's just incredible. I feel that's, again, another wonderful way God has knit our hearts together. So just want to say I'm so thankful for our family. They're such a part. Often we focus on ministry and all the things we're doing, and these are our greatest treasures, is our family, and we're so grateful for them, every one of them. Oh, that's where we're living, right. So you can see there's a little difference between Scotland and Spain. The weather actually is one of the largest differences, just to say. We've been in Spain 10 years. We're nearly thawed out. Might take another 10. Might take us 10 more. We love Scotland. Our children are all born there. And really, it's got very wonderful, wonderful memories of such a huge variety of ministries that we're involved in. Steve, particularly in leadership, my area was training teachers and setting up preschools, some of it there, but also more in very needy, poor areas. That's what I've got a real heart for. So we made this big transition, you know, at 50, sort of packing up your bags and selling everything and saying goodbye is always, for those who've kind of done it at that stage of life, different language, different culture, norms, many things we had no idea about and very few relationships we had. God put a dream in our heart many years ago to have a retreat center for leaders. We wanted to have a place that people could come off the field and really be strengthened, nourished. Yes, could be some seminars running, workshops, but really, we were looking that this would be a place of God's presence. So when they step in it, God begins working. Not about us. Yes, we love to pray. We do love to have words for people. But I want to take it up another level. I just want to see it happening. As we are there preparing the ground in prayer, I want to see God come and touch people deeply. So that was kind of a dream. We were, bring it back and forth to the Lord. The place we live in now, we've been 6.5 years. We lived in rented two other villas. And realize that God has a lot of preparation work for us always before he opens doors, probably more in us as opposed to the right property. It was the right people he was working on over that season. It's always a challenge to leave everything. Then suddenly you realize how much you depend on perhaps titles or people know you and you're respected in a nation, and now nobody rings, invites you to do anything, and you suddenly find yourself at a very alone place. And that's a place God gets our attention. And often opens up a whole new understanding of how he wants us to lead. So it's been an amazing journey. We've loved it. Sometimes I want to quit, and I'll look at that schedule and the number of people we have living with us at any one time. Sometimes it's overwhelming. But as we heard about our joy, you know, the cross before us, yeah, Christianity is not about no sacrifice. We're with the wrong camp if we think it's all just ease. It's also counting the cost. And as we count it, the dividends are incredible. We have probably around 300, sometimes plus, leaders from around the world coming through our retreat center. I don't know who's more enriched. I would like to say it was them, but truly I have to be honest and say it's us. What they leave, the deposit they leave in us. We don't even think we're missionaries when I'm meeting some of these precious people who are doing things that are just phenomenal, and I just shake my head. And yet they just have such courage to keep pressing in. So it's a blessing and a receiving both ways. It isn't just one. That little small villa, you know, if you're wanting to do fundraising, support raising, we're just so grateful we don't own it. So we always remind people, you know, that's not a picture you want to say, oh, and this is our house in southern Spain. Just wondering if we could take an offering now. We're struggling. We need new lawn chairs. Our gardener and pool cleaner is sort of taking a bit of wants more money. I'm wondering if you could just help us with that. Actually, seriously, we did lose supporters when we moved there. We laugh about it now. We'd realize how ridiculous. We wanted a place, we're very practical, that we knew people could go for walks. I had to have mountains. I'm from BC. How could I live anywhere without mountains? Ocean. Sorry, just the way it is. The place physically is beautiful. Yes, the villa is beautiful, but I can tell you, God astounds us. Full of fruit trees, the almond blossoms. It's just one of those breathtaking parts of the world. It's safe, it's clean, and we are 20 minutes from the airport. That's the number one thing we said, Lord, because we're picking up, dropping off. And this just became, you know, people say, why did you go to Spain? Why not? I was so surprised when they'd ask us, why wouldn't you go to Spain? Spiritually, it has its challenges, but we feel over the time, and it's lovely to have staff who've lived there a long time to say, we feel like there's an open heaven. We come into this place, what happened here? I said, well, I think a lot of it's the people who've come through. We've cleared the whole environment of some of that hold. So, yeah, we're very, very grateful. A few ideas of some of the things we do, and Steve's worried because I know I'm taking his time.
I just want to declare I'm a man of faith this morning. I let her speak first.
I'm not finished.
I hope you can understand my accent. Perhaps I'll just add an A on the end of every sentence. Will that help? Eh? Yeah? It's lovely to be with you. We just want to share a few thoughts around faith and the different kinds of faith that it's important for us to get a hold of. I'm sure many of you know about Youth with a Mission. And we are born on Mark 16:15, that, you know, we're to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And our motto is to know God and to make him known. And I was just thinking, what is the motivation to complete the Great Commission? The motivation is our love for God, the great commandment. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And what is the motivation to love the Lord? It's because we're loved in the first place, aren't we? And as we understand that, there's an overflow that takes place. And it's a joy to be able to be involved in finishing the Great Commission. And I've just at a conference where this was happening, and it's just, we're living in such an exciting time, aren't we? This was the scripture that I had for us this morning. For without faith, it's impossible to please him. So how are you pleasing him this morning? How am I pleasing him? What kind of faith am I putting into action right now? And as we enter into this week, what kind of faith do we utilize? So we want to start with thinking about faith for salvation. And Reet was just at a conference that she'd just like to share a few thoughts.
I think so often, you know, our plight in Europe at the moment with just all of the refugees coming into so many of our nations, and YWAM has been doing amazing things working with people. Sometimes though, statistics and some of the horrific things that we hear do not create faith. And that's the news line. You need to be looking at some of the Christian sites to be really seeing also what's going on spiritually. So just keep that in mind, because otherwise I watch news and I'm like, oh Lord, what else can we do? How can we get engaging with these people who some countries are receiving and some are rejecting? So at this conference that I was at, this was about 55 people who had been doing some amazing things, and they started to tell us some stories. And one of our speakers is an Orthodox priest. He's actually American. And I love their outfits. I'd like to actually get one of those outfits. Honestly, it's just striking. I think YWAM should get outfits. Anyway, he just has a presence. He walks on. He's got a cross that must be weighing, I don't know, but he stands upright. It's enormous. And he just speaks like Jesus. Oh my gosh. It was so, so humbling to hear him. He's on the beaches. It's where he's been, in Lesbos. He's been on the beaches meeting all these refugees. And he said, can I tell you, because some people were saying, you're a little overdressed. This is a Islamic grouping of people coming and look at you. And he goes, excuse me? He said, over and over again, he would hear. These guys would run up to him, grab his cross and kiss it and fall on their knees and say, you don't know how many times I've had dreams and messengers. There would be a man waiting for me wearing a cross who would lead me into truth over and over and over again. I mean, we're all sitting there going, are we underestimating Jesus that he doesn't show up at these places? And then let me just tell you one, there were so many stories, one touching one, since I have such a love for children. They brought in, she's not a believer, but somebody had brought in an art therapist to begin to help these children unpack just the tragedies that they've seen and been a part of. So they're drawing pictures. So one little girl has drawn this picture of a, literally, you could tell it's a blown up home. And there was this large man, and with his arm around her, escorting her out of the house. So the lady said, oh, that was your dad, was it? Oh, no. No, my dad was already, he wasn't actually in the house. Oh, no. This man came, and he was huge. No idea where he came from. He showed up, got me out before anything else happened. Do you not believe in angels? There's angels, and children often are so much more open. So I just wanted to encourage you, salvation is coming. And often we're not at a, I think we're so stuck in the natural, we're not calling out in our situations here, wherever we are. We need to be calling out for more of his presence.
Do you all have somebody who needs to know the Lord right now? I'm sure you do have hundreds of names of people that would flood your mind. Just for 10 seconds, just speak them out. Speak their names out. These people need to know the Lord. We need to keep them before the throne. Speak them out right now. Just lift your voices for just a few seconds. Speak their names. We bring these to you, Lord. They need to know you. They need to know your love. Just surround them. May your presence come. Hallelujah. You know, all around the world, there is an incredible move of God that is taking place. And Youth with a Mission now is in something like 187 nations with ministries going on. And we have YWAMers from 212 nations working. And we are just one little organization. And there are churches like yourselves who are reaching out across the nations. And it is a very exciting time to be. It was just a few years ago, I remember, where we were praying for unreached, unengaged people groups of more than a million. And we had a huge list of these unreached, unengaged people groups. And just in Kansas City, where we were getting together, that list is down to 600 unengaged, unreached people groups. You know, it's the speed of everything is just going so much faster. Obviously, even those reached groups, we still need more workers. We need more laborers entering into the harvest. But yeah, just let's rejoice in all that is taking place. And we're nearing kind of that finishing line. Another encouraging thing is just seeing Bible translation. You know, there's about 6,500 languages around the world. And the Bible has been translated into so many of them. 93% of the world have a Bible in their heart language. And so in these next years, we're looking to see that final 7%. And even in the last 18 months, you see that number has come down significantly. And the technology has so increased our ability to see these translations take place. And so by 2025, the goal is, and it looks like with Wycliffe and many organizations working together, we can reach every tribe and group and people having the Bible in their language. Isn't that wonderful? Of course, that's just the first stage. Then we've got Bible distribution and Bible engagement. Even if you have a Bible, you've got to read it. And so there's all kinds of opportunities. And in YWAM, we have this project, End Bible Poverty, which we're going very strongly with. Very encouraging. The Jesus film. How many of you have seen the Jesus film? It's just spreading around the world. There's an app that you can get. We give it to our people going on outreach. You can choose the language. You can show them a clip. You can, without speaking the language, you can share the gospel in such a powerful way. Wow. This is good news. They're right now in 1,404 languages. And again, with teams working on this constantly, those numbers are increasing daily. So there's faith for salvation, and we need that. But it doesn't stop there, does it? We need faith for discipleship. We have half the world's population that don't have a Christian fellowship nearby them. There's a need for for church planting in an incredible way. And so we need to be in faith for not just seeing the gospel enter into nations, but to see people discipled, to see churches form. And whether it's in the UK, they call it messy church or fresh expression church or cell church or whatever kind of church it is, it's a group of believers getting together and growing in God. And so we need faith to climb the mountains. God produces a faithfulness in us through the things that we face and through those challenges that we come up against daily. Who has some daily challenges that you have to face? I see those hands. Yeah, we're all in the same boat, aren't we? And the Bible says we have to work out our salvation daily. It's all about building our character It's all about learning those spiritual disciplines, getting that rhythm in our lives so that we can follow through with the Lord. we're going to have all kinds of challenges. I remember back when we were first married and this whole process of having faith in discipleship was taking place. and soon after we were married, we were sharing last night, actually, we opened a discipleship house and we were youth leaders in a church. And so we encouraged these youth to come and join us in this discipleship house. But when we got it, they had cold feet and we ended up with all kinds of dysfunctional people joining us from all kinds of difficult backgrounds. And I can remember coming home from work. I was a roofer at the time. And I say, "Oh dear, how was your day?" And she would say, "Oh, just a normal day. You know, I had to pull one of the ladies out of bed and throw in the shower because she was so depressed. Someone else had an overdose. We have to go and visit them tonight in the hospital. You know, I had to counsel this couple who were going through deep crisis in their marriage." Yeah, just a normal day. And we were faced continually with how do you work through these challenges daily? How do we climb those mountains? And we need faith in order to do that, don't we? We all face them. Sometimes there's faith to make it through the storms that come. I can remember some years ago talking with one of my leaders, and he, on the face of it, he looked good. He was actually a Canadian guy, and he was a great MC. He could really stir up the group, and I spoke to him after one staff meeting. And I said, "How are you really doing?" And he said, "You know what? I just feel dead inside. You know, I've given. Everybody might think everything's okay. I've put on the right smile, but inside, you know, I've just hit rock bottom. I've lost my passion. I don't know what to do." And so right there and then, I said, "Let's get together in the morning and spend time with God, and let's work through this. Let's read Disappointment with God." That was a new book out back then. And it took probably 6 months for us to pray together and share with one another until the passion began to come back again. And we all hit various storms in our life that, you know, can shake us. And we need faith to persevere through and to find God in the midst of that. Yeah, there's many, many stories I could tell here, and I can see where our time is already up. Sometimes faith for the storm to cease. Just last year, we had a couple's retreat, and this couple had been going through all kinds of real difficulties. And we'd been praying very much that there would be an atmosphere in our retreat center where as people step over the threshold, that they have a sense of God's presence and that God is able to do some dramatic things in their lives. And storms that are going on can cease. And this couple, they came in. We didn't really know all the struggles and the fights and the confrontations that were taking place. Well, they went to bed that night, and God woke them up in the middle of the night with a dream. And they both had the same dream. And as they talked, they realized God was pinpointing this area. They spoke for the next couple of hours. And as they came to the morning session, you know, they said, "A miracle has taken place just overnight." And sometimes we find that, don't we? We can pray in faith and that storm can cease. So often, though, we do need faith to walk through them. Let me just finish with a few more thoughts. And this is more on initiative faith. And there's a simple little story I want to kind of live out here. And I need maybe 15 people. So maybe this little group here, if you can come out the front. You're going to have to use your imaginations greatly. I'm going to be Jesus. And, Jesus went from town to town. He was surrounded by his disciples. And so you have to get close. We're a really close bunch. Mm-hmm. Yep. And we would walk and talk as we went along. And there was this woman who was a nobody, really. She spent all her money trying to get healed. She wasn't supposed to be there. She was unclean, insignificant. But as we were talking and walking, she wanted to kind of get through to me. But you're kind of bodyguards, aren't you?
Yeah.
You keep people away. You kept those kids away. You kept Bartimaeus even away. But I had to invite him to come. And so, as we're walking, I see these beautiful fields out here. It reminds me of a story, actually. There was a farmer, and he went out to sow the seeds. And, some seeds fell on the rocky soil, and the seeds didn't penetrate. And and the birds came and took those seeds, and they were gone. Other seeds actually fell on the rocky soil, and it germinated and was doing well. But then the sun came out and shriveled those seeds up. Other seeds fell among the thorns. You see those thorns over there? And it kind of squeezed the life out of these seeds. And it was just so sad that these seeds... Who touched me right there? Who was it?
There's a lot of people touching you, Jesus.
Come on, babe.
Someone touched me. Who was it? Just own up. Okay, let's make some space here. Your faith has made you whole. It took incredible initiative from this woman to press through. Thank you, guys. To press through and to recognize that she shouldn't be there. She had no right to be there in a sense, and yet she made it through and touched Jesus. And because of that faith, something happened. It's like Peter, who was walking on the water, out of his own initiative. Do you realize that? It wasn't a situation where Jesus calls out to Peter in the boat and says, "Peter, I want you to come and walk on the water like I'm doing right now." That's not how it happened. Peter sees Jesus and he says, "Jesus, if that's you, tell me to come." And he's already getting out of the boat. That's the kind of initiative faith that God is looking for. Sometimes I think we feel like that our destiny is just going to fall in our lap, and we just have to pray and trust, and there it is. One day it just happens. I don't often see that, though, in Scripture. I think Father wants us to grow up a little, too. He wants us to take responsibility. He wants us to have the mind of Christ and to take initiative. And there's so many areas to take initiative in. There's a world out there waiting, and I'm not going to be able to finish my message here, but there's... it's not just the gospel of salvation that we need to get into. It's the gospel of the kingdom. And whatever sphere that we're involved in, we talk a lot about these seven spheres in YWAM. And we need to take initiative faith in that sphere. So wherever you're working, you have a mission field, right? Whatever we're doing, we're not just being a Christian there. We're asking the Lord, "What can I do to bring your kingdom in? What initiatives can I develop?" So if, just poke the person next to you for a moment. If they move, if they're breathing, if they're alive, God has a purpose for them, right? If he didn't have a purpose for you, he would have whisked you away to heaven once you were saved. But because you're here, he has a purpose, and there's a step that you need to take. A step to say, "Lord, I'm available. I want to do whatever you want me to do. And I'm ready to step out of the boat and say, Lord, if you're there, I'm coming." I'd like you to just stand up in your seats this morning. We all have faith steps to take. Perhaps some of these different faiths we've mentioned this morning. You say, yeah, I need that faith to stop this storm. I've got this faith to see my relative saved. I've got faith to see something happen in this sphere of influence that I'm working in. How many of you ask for others' involvement in what your destiny is? You know, it's not often a question that we discuss with one another. It's kind of, we're so individualistic. We want to hear that for ourselves, but you know, God wants us to be a body and find people that can give us that kind of input and advice and help us to find what it is that God wants to do in our lives. And so as we reach out to others and say, would you help me find out what it is that God wants me to take initiative in? Just look around. If we're all taking steps of initiative, what is going to take place in Calgary? It's going to be turned upside down. Really. Jesus did it with 12 men, and then we're a lot more than that here. It's just that little mustard seed faith that we put into operation. So I want you to take a step of faith this morning. Whatever it is that God's put in your heart right now, the step of faith that you know, you just had that little thought, yeah, maybe God wants me to do this. Yeah, I'd like you in the physical to actually make a step. Say, Lord, I'm trusting you. I'm trusting you in this area of my life. Thank you, Father, for your incredible love for us. Thank you that you've opened our eyes to recognize the incredible life we have in you. Yeah, may your love so overflow us, flow through us to bless others and to make a difference and to bring your challenge into this world and to see your kingdom come. Lord, we pray it so often in the Lord's Prayer. May your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Lord, we pray that again this morning. And we take this step of faith and say, Lord, we're putting our little hand in your hand. We trust you to see some difference. You know, I love that little story of the little mouse and the elephant. And they're walking hand in hand. And they come to this bridge. And as they move across the bridge just is shaking like crazy. And they get to the other side of the bridge, and the mouse looks up to the elephant and says, boy, we sure shook that bridge, didn't we? Now that's, we're to look at our faith in that way. We're joining our little bit of faith with a great big God who is able to do the impossible. Amen.